This is an ABC podcast.
It's time for kickoff. Welcome to NRL Monday with Andrew Moore. Insights, analysis, and all you need to know in the NRL on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Good evening to you. Welcome to NRL Monday. I'm Andrew Moore. Happy to be with you until 7:30 tonight as we lead into the evening's programs and then nightlife here on ABC Local Radio. We'll look back at round 19 of the NRL season, round 1 of the NRLW season, and look ahead to State of Origin 3 coming up on Wednesday night. New South Wales star, my co-commentator Luke Lewis will join me as co-host for the second half of the show, while Queensland legend Chris Close will join me in the first half of the show. 9 rounds remain in the NRL season, and can you believe that after 18 rounds, Newcastle is in the top 4? I find that absolutely staggering. The change to this team under the impressive coaching of Justin Holbrook has been so fun to watch, and the Knights are clearly a serious team with depth to burn, particularly in the back line. They defeated the white-hot Dolphins yesterday, 13-12 at Hunter Stadium, thanks to Dylan Brown's late field goal. The Finns now sit outside the top eight, or the top four, I should say. They are in the top eight. But the biggest surprise of the season for me is just that, Newcastle being in the top four. Not that the Premiers Brisbane will not be playing finals this year. Not that the minor premiers of 2025 Canberra will be nowhere to be seen in September this year. Not that the Dolphins, that I think will play finals for the first time. But the fact that Newcastle, last year's Wooden Spooners, currently sitting in the top four and equal on points with the second place Warriors and the Sydney Roosters. So what's the biggest surprise for you so far this year? The open line number for NRL Monday is 1300 361 700, or you can send me a text on 0467 920 222. But yeah, the Knights have been sensational and great for the crowds at Hunter Stadium, who are always phenomenal. Fantastic to be at Cogra on Saturday for St George Illawarra's second win of the season. They were convincing in the end over the West Tigers, and especially 3 tries in that 7-minute period. More on the Dragons shortly. Penrith returned to its dominant best with a commanding and entertaining win over South Sydney. Cronulla Sutherland did more than enough to beat Brisbane, and that is 8 losses in a row now for the Broncos. And yesterday, a stunning upset with Parramatta too good for Manly Warringah. That's now 7 wins from the last 8 games against the Seagulls at Western Sydney Stadium. By the way, some terrible injury news for the West Tigers today. Hooker and captain Appy Kroisau ruled out for 4 weeks because of a muscle strain to his pec. It's regarded as a low-grade strain, but Appy will miss games against the Warriors, Canterbury, Canberra and Parramatta. With Appy, they're all winnable games for the Tigers, but without him, not so sure. Did you enjoy the opening round of the NRLW? Very happy for Kezzy Apps and the West Tigers team for their first up win yesterday over Parramatta. They only won 1 game all of last year, the Tigers. The Warriors were impressive winners over the Bulldogs at Waikato Stadium. In the season kickoff, Newcastle was too good for mistake-riddled Cronulla Sutherland. Canberra captain Samima Taufa scored a try in her 50th NRLW game as she led the Raiders to victory over St George Illawarra, but then produced possibly the worst kick for goal ever seen by humans. The worry for the NRL season, though, stems from the brilliance of the 2 premiership favourites, both the Sydney Roosters and Brisbane Broncos. The Broncos beat North Queensland 50 points to 4 at Lang Park. They raced in 10 tries, while New South Wales State of Origin stars Isabel Kelly, Jess Sergis and Jamie Frassard combined for 5 tries between them as the Sydney Roosters thrashed Gold Coast 34-10. So let's see how the Knights aim up against the Roosters this week and how the Sharks can handle the Broncos on Thursday night. Welcome to NRL Monday with Andrew Moore. It is 7:20.
Be part of NRL Monday.
Call 1300 361 700.
You're with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Yeah, how are you St George Illawarra fans feeling at the start of a new week? You've had a terrific win over the West Tigers on Saturday night, the first at Cogra in almost a year. Still in the cellar, but that's now 2 wins this season under interim coach Dean Young. And how are Dragons supporters feeling about next year? Luciano Leilua has announced today that he's the latest Dragon to be off at season's end. The 30-year-old has signed a 3-year deal with Catalan in the Super League, 10 years now since making his NRL debut. Luciano is now the 5th St George Illawarra player to quit the club at season's end when you consider the fact that Damien Cook, Tyrell Sloan and Matt Feeing are headed to Castleford, Jaden Sewer off to Parramatta, and the Saints are likely to go or let go of Blake Laurie, Christian Tuipulotu and Hame Selle. They're all off contract. So how does that compare to the list of players so far listed to join the Red and Whites for next year? And we're talking about Keon Kolomatangi, Connor Watson, Scott Drinkwater, Luke Metcalf and Philip Sami. I really do like those signings and think the impressive young forwards they have, like the Couchman twins and Hamish Stewart and Dylan Egan, they could be challenging for a return to finals footy as soon as next year. But is that optimism misplaced or on the money? Looking forward to hearing from you on 1300 361 700 or on the text line 0467 920 222.
Notice something on the weekend that no one else did?
Call 1300 361 700 and be part of NRL Monday with Andrew Moore.
On ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
I noticed my old mate Dean Ritchie in the Telegraph has come up with his all-time State of Origin team. Now, this is the best of both states over the last 46 years. And these are always written purely to promote debate and reaction. So let's debate and react. Now, I'll read out Bulldogs' combined all-time team and tell you where he messed up, basically, and then you can tell me where I've messed up. He has Billy Slater at fullback. I find that impossible to argue with. The wingers, Andrew Ettingshausen and Greg Inglis. So that's fine with both of them, I guess. Centres, Mal Meninga and Laurie Daly. Now, remember, you can't bag any of these players. They're all absolute champions, but seriously, Bulldog, you're kidding yourself. Mal, of course, and as a great player as Laurie Daly was, Gene Miles could be the best Origin centre of all time. So Mal and Gino for mine. Now, Dean Ritchie has picked Brett Kenny at 5'8". And sorry, as much as I love Brett and as great as he was, there's only one State of Origin 5'8" of all time, and that's Wally Lewis, the King. And I know Kenny outplayed him several times, but Wally Lewis, he's the most influential 5'8" we've ever seen in State of Origin, albeit he was locked for the first ever game in 1980. And there have been some great 5'8s, haven't there? Jonathan Thurston and Darren Lockyer. Damn, how do those legends miss out? Andrew Johns named at halfback. Can't argue that, really, although there are certainly, you could have a claim for Alan Langer or Steve Mortimer. How are we going so far? You can let us know. The text line 0467 920 222. To the forwards, Bulldog, well, he has Wally Lewis at lock, so no. Brad Fittler should be the lock, just ahead of Bradley Clyde and Paul Vorton. Second rowers, Paul Searon is a walk-up start, so is Gordon Tallis. Agree with Dean there. Front rowers, now this article has Glenn Lazarus with Arthur Beetson. And look, I get it with Arthur. Some say the greatest front rower of all time. And the way he embraced Origin in 1980 has become folklore, but he only played one game. So I'm taking him out and putting in another Queenslander, Petro Sivanisiva. Sorry, blocker. Hooker. Cam Smith picks himself, doesn't he? Despite Origin seeing some great hookers like Benny Elias and Steve Walters and Roy Simmons. So what do you reckon? You can give us a bell on 1300 361 700 or text 0467 920 222. Bulldog Richie's bench, by the way, was Jonathan Thurston, Benny Elias, Brad Fittler, Paul Gallen, Steve Roach and Noel Cleal. A lot of New South Wales on that bench. Where's Louis? Darren Lockyer would be on my bench. More versatile slightly than JT. Can I have Brett Keddie as well? Shane Webke would be in for Crusher. And as I'd have Brad Fittler starting, Fatty Vorton is on the bench. So my all-time State of Origin team, for what it's worth, which is nothing. Billy Slater, fullback. Wingers, Andrew Ettingshausen and Greg Inglis. Centres, Mal Meninga and Gene Miles. Wally Lewis, 5'8" and captain. Andrew Johns, halfback. Brad Fittler, lock. Paul Searonen and Gordon Tallis in the second row. Glenn Lazarus and Petro Sivanisiva, the props, with Cam Smith at hooker. And a bench of Darren Lockyer, Brett Kenny, Stephen Roach, Paul Vorton, Shane Webke and Paul Gallen. But have at it. on the open line number or text 0467 920222. But thanks for providing the fodder, Dean Ritchie. Speaking of State of Origin, going to catch up with Chris Choppy Close next.
Got something on your mind?
Call Andrew now on 1300 361 700.
This is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Now on NRL Monday, Chris Close is a State of Origin legend. There may be many people who love Queensland and are as proud of Queensland as Choppy is, but none love it more. Chris Close was an elite centre, actually played very well in the forwards as well at times, but he was there for the start of it all. He was man of the match in the first ever State of Origin game. He was man of the match in the second ever State of Origin game the following year. He's been involved in Queensland State of Origin squads for decades in one form or another. A great bloke and one of my all-time favourite guests. He is on the line. Chris Close, how are you?
Yeah, very, very good, thanks, Andrew. And thank you for such a lovely and glorious acknowledgement from the start of the program.
Well, you know I mean it. Should Queensland have already won this series?
Well, I felt like they should have won game one. I mean, it really went down to the last few minutes of the game, and unfortunately for Queensland, you know, that bloody unknown factor always kicks in. And in this case, it was James Tedesco. What a remarkable player he is.
I still can't believe he caught that.
He just put himself into the game. Like, that's what he does over and over and over again. And, you know, the hammer, he would have been going up for that ball thinking he's got it covered and here we go, we're going to win. And who spoils the party? One of the best rugby league players that has ever played in a Blues jumper, James Tedesco, jumps up, snatches it off him, scores a bloody try. I nearly kicked the TV over. I can tell you.
I was about to say how mature you sound giving a Blues player a rap.
No, mate, I was down at Taree, I mean, way back to Queensland, and seriously, I could have kicked the bloody TV off the wall.
Choppy, playing the decider in Brisbane on Wednesday night, why is that such an advantage to Queensland teams?
It's our home ground, I suppose. That's the only advantage I see. I also see the advantage that it brings to New South Wales as the underdogs in that home ground appearance. They've often come up here and used that against us. And, you know, it won't surprise me if that's not what they do again. And when that crowd gets out there and starts booing them, you know, that can sometimes spur them into action. So hopefully that won't happen and it will be our advantage and we'll play well. It looks like it's going to be a dry game. I think the weather says that our weather gods have shone down brightly on us. So it's going to be a dry game, which will make it a very open and very exciting game.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. But there's nothing better, honestly, I'm a New South Welshman, but going to Brisbane for a decider, it's the best.
You're one of the best New South Welshmen I've ever met, though, mate. That's the difference. So, yeah, it's always exciting. I don't care where you go to play the decider.
Yeah.
One all going into that decider, you know, everything's on the line. The whole thing is there for somebody to take it. And, you know, hopefully we'll use our advantage in their home ground, but it doesn't always work out that way.
Well, you wanted to kick the TV off the wall for game one. I'm sure you wanted to embrace it watching game two at the MCG. What stood out for you and impressed you most about Queensland's second half in that game?
No, we just had some players that really, you know, got into the game. I think, you know, it was a real turnaround game for Harry Grant. I don't think Harry's been, you know, a shining light for Queensland in the majority of the last couple of series, but that really did give him an opportunity to get himself back into that role that we know he has. He's very wily, but just the players, mate, that excelled. Sam Walker, Selwyn Cobbo, Lindsay Collins, you know, those players just stood up and were counted. Max Platt, we really did have a great group of young men that went out there and, you know, just they played to their potential and they fulfilled all of those things that we know they're capable of. And they did it in really, really shining fashion.
It was an incredible second-half performance. They just absolutely swamped New South Wales. But in terms of the Blues team going to a decider, what scares you, if anything, about the New South Wales side?
Payne has. He scares me about everything that he does for New South Wales. He's such a great player. And, look, they've got attacking prowess right across the field. It doesn't matter where you look. Liam Martin comes back in. He brings that aggression that he carries. He's a passionate New South Welshman. They're the things that really scare me the most. I think that, you know, Crichton comes back in. He's going to be, you know, trying to make sure that he lives up to what everybody's expectations are. And those sort of things can help them go on and win the game. Nathan Cleary will stand up again and be counted. And hopefully we can counteract that and make sure that we don't let them get away from us.
I'm just thinking back to the early 1980s. If Payne Haas played for New South Wales then, I can already see you ripping the jersey off his head.
I tell you what, he would have had a hard night. Doesn't matter who he was or how big he was. You know, I played for Keats in those days. It was the way it was, you know. It meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to all of the Queensland players, but mostly it meant a lot to the Queensland people.
Of course.
People of this state. And, you know, when you get that opportunity, it doesn't matter how big or how tough they are or how fast they are, if you throw your body into that contest and just give it your best, you can't be asked for anything more.
Well, one who always did that as a player is the Queensland now coach. And if the Maroons do win the series, Chris, where does Billy Slater then rank among the great coaches in Origin history?
I think he's already there. I think he's shown, you know, that he is a very mature, very, very calm in his outlook, a very thorough coach. I mean, I watch him and he's always got the pen and paper out. He's writing things down. He's preparing himself to talk to the team. He's not a panic merchant. He doesn't, you know, I think last game really, you know, demonstrated that. Game one demonstrated that when we lost, Ponga. He didn't panic and bring on the player that everybody expected him to do. He went back to his game plan and made sure that he brought a player on that would shore up the gaps. And you know, that was a really mature decision to make. So I think he is already in a position where he should be revered as a State of Origin coach. And he can only, you know, continue that on if we continue to win.
State of Origin 3, you are the guru of Man of the Match awards, having won the first two ever. So, knowing that you're obviously expecting Queensland to win, if they do, who's the Man of the Match?
It could be one of many, many people. I think our performances so far this series has been outstanding. You know, I would not be surprised to see Cameron Munster take it out. I think he's been absolutely fantastic for us as a captain. Mm. His game one was sensational. Game two, I don't think I've ever seen any 5'8 do as much defensive work as what Cameron put himself into in the game. But you know what? There were some players around him that could have had just as much impact. Selwyn Cobbo, my God, he's had the two best State of Origin games that you could ask anyone ever to play. Sam Walker, what another standout player. Harry Grant has now brought himself into that contention. He easily could make himself the Man of the Match. So I don't think it's anyone I could single out around that. But having said that, it could be somebody else that steps up for Queensland, puts on a blinder and you know, earns that opportunity.
Special guest is Queensland State of Origin legend Chris Choppy-Close. One last thing for you, Choppy, and I think I do this to you every year. But take me into the sheds at Lang Park Wednesday night. Players about to run on the field, and you, Chris Close, get the chance to address the team. What are you saying to them?
Look, you know, stand up and be counted. That's all we want. That's what your expectation is. You've got an opportunity to represent everybody that lives in this state. Everybody is counting on you to wake up on Thursday morning, have their chest pumped out, hold their heads up, and walk the streets of Queensland like absolute kings. And you blokes, it's on your back.
And if I was like Fatty Vorton and handed you a Queensland jersey, what would you say about it?
I cried the last time.
I know. I know.
So I can't guarantee I could get any words out either. But at the end of the day, you know, it does mean a lot. If you're a Queenslander, you love Origin. It's just part of your DNA. So I'm no different to that. And hopefully, you know, I really want to see our passion burn brightly forever and ever and ever. And we're doing that. We've had great, you know, it's been a great concept for Queensland as well as New South Wales. But, you know, I think we've got to win. That's what we've got to do.
We've got to win. Chris Close, love you, mate. Love what you've done for this game and your passion for State of Origin and particularly for Queensland. Just as a league fan, mate, it is awesome, and I appreciate your time as ever. Enjoy Wednesday.
I will, mate, and I want to pay you guys some compliments as well, mate. When I'm out at work and I'm travelling around the bush, I've got that ABC on so much. I'm listening to you guys, having a laugh. I love your program, Andrew. You're just such a great leader on it. And, you know, you've got some gooses on there with Gibbsy and Louie. Well, I know I say this all the time, should have been a Queenslander, but we didn't have him on our side. He's on your side. It's a great team, mate, and you're doing a fantastic job. You're doing the game very, very proud, Andrew.
Awesome, mate. Chris Close, thanks for your time.
Thank you, mate. See ya.
Who's hot?
He is after that. A great topic. Who's hot? Dylan Edwards leads the ABC Player of the Year, had a brilliant game against South Sydney. He's had a stunning season. He hasn't let being dropped from the New South Wales team affect him one bit, and his duel with South Sydney's gun custodian Jai Gray was one of the real highlights on Friday night. So Dylan Edwards is hot.
Who's under the pump?
Sorry, mate. Love you. But it's Laurie Daly. Actually, I'm going to throw in a twosome. Laurie Daly and Dave Trodden, coach of New South Wales and chief executive of the New South Wales Rugby League. Because let's face it, if Queensland wins on Wednesday and claims its second straight series, Laurie Daly won't be around for the final year of his contract in 2027. He'll be gone. And Dave Trodden will be under enormous pressure as well, because Laurie was his choice. Sorry, Trotto, as I say, I love you both, but the pump, you were both under it. We have news only 3 minutes away. NRL Monday with Andrew Moore. Luke Lewis will join me. As Chris Close said, he should have been a Queenslander. He will join me just after the news at 7 o'clock. I mentioned Dylan Edwards. The Panthers fullback has kicked 4 points clear of the field after round 18 in the ABC Player of the Year competition. He produced a man-of-the-match performance in the Panthers' impressive win over Souths on Friday night. He's on 24 points. His teammate and captain Nathan Cleary is outright second on 20. And then injured warrior Jackson Ford next on 19. Sharks 5'8 Braden Trindle 18. Manly second rower Hamole Olakamatu. Hamole Olakamatu, shut up, Louis, on 17. Roosters captain James Tedesco 16. And his teammate Nafahu White next on 15 points. And then Dolphin star Herbie Farnworth and Warriors fullback Tane Tuipiki both on 13 points. So 9 rounds to go. And Dylan Edwards leads the ABC Player of the Year by 4. On the text line, 0467 920222. Maury, good evening. Love the show. But what the? With my Eagles yesterday. Total shocker. Did they have a big night out on the Terps before the game? Is the Foz going to give them all a rocket up the you-know-what? That's Mark from the Central Coast. Their form has definitely dropped off a little over the past 3 or 4 weeks, hasn't it? They played very well against Souths. Was that 2 or 3 weeks ago? But they were beaten by Canterbury recently at Stadium Australia and pretty well beaten. Their form was way off yesterday at Brookvale Oval. So, Mark, I share your concerns. They're still there in the top eight, but they're going to have to lift their game again. But a lot of teams do go through a bit of a malaise at this time of year. So hopefully for you Manly fans, it is just that. Two big surprises. One, my beloved Raiders being cellar dwellers. And two, Louis putting his hand up for President of Australia, says Aaron from Brisbane. Well, that I get why you would consider that to be a big surprise this year, Aaron, but knowing Louis as I do, it really didn't shock me all that much. And the fact that he said President rather than Prime Minister. 0467 920 222. We've got Luke Lewis joining us straight after the news at 7 o'clock. We'll find out who he's buying and selling. Your texts remain welcome on that number, 0467 920222. And we'll tell you what's coming up. A big week ahead of Rugby League, and it all kicks off on Wednesday night. We'll be on air from 7 p.m. Myself, Luke, John Gibbs, and also Matthew Elliott. And we'll be at Lang Park in Brisbane with a sellout crowd of 52,004. The decider. Can't wait for that. This is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore. It is news time.
Your complete NRL wrap. This is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Thanks for tuning in to NRL Monday. And if you are just joining us, I'm Andrew Moore with you until 7:30. And then it's the evening's programs followed by Nightlife Joining me in a moment is former New South Wales State of Origin star Luke Lewis, premiership winner at Cronulla and Penrith, Clive Churchill Medal winner in 2016. Andrew Fifita still feels he was robbed. And what else have I missed? Our business entrepreneur and one of the great pests you'll ever meet. So Louis will co-host the second half of the show, including we'll find out who he's buying and selling. Your text messages remain welcome on 0467 920222, and I'll get to those in just a tick. In the first half of the show, I had the pleasure of speaking with Queensland Origin legend Chris Choppy Close, who's anxious about Wednesday night's decider and told me that just because it's a Queensland home game, that does not guarantee a win.
They've often come up here and used that against us. And, you know, it won't surprise me if that's not what they do again. And when that crowd gets out there and starts booing them, you know, that can sometimes spur them into action. So hopefully that won't happen and it will be our advantage and we'll play well. It looks like it's going to be a dry game. Like weather says that our weather gods have shone down brightly on us. So it's going to be a dry game, which will make it a very open and very exciting game.
That's Choppy Close, who did have some nice things to say about you, Luke Lewis, as always. Good evening, mate. Long time no see.
Yeah, good evening, Andrew. I love Choppy. And he always does say, I should have been a Queenslander.
But, mate, I
could sit and listen to Choppy talk all day, especially when it comes to origin stories. So did you get any good origin stories out of him?
Well, not so much this time. Because I've had him on every year to talk about origin stories, we focus more on this year's series. And I love hearing his rev up about what he would say to the team before they run onto
the field. No tears?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, they were not far away, I reckon. But he's telling me, you know, he's nervous about Wednesday night. And I'm interested in what he said about playing at Lang Park, that the other team, New South Wales, can use that almost to their advantage. And you've told me that before, running out into that stadium, even though you knew they were against you, you loved it.
It's the best feeling in the world. I say it all the time. This is, like I say to you, this is the only time I get jealous.
Yeah.
Origin time, but and grand final night. But running out at Suncorp Stadium on a Wednesday night, packed house, full of Queenslanders, you got a decider. It's the best feeling in the world. Seriously, I'm so nervous. I can't wait to get up there. I fingers crossed we play our best football. We haven't played any good football, I suppose, over the last sort of two games, maybe 23 minutes of the first game. We played pretty well. But I reckon this crowd could literally help them. Running out in front of that place, knowing that they're all against you, the only way to quieten the place down is by playing well.
So is that all psychological though, Louis? Because Stadium Australia, 80,000, they make great noise.
Totally different though.
It is different. 91,500 at the MCG, although all the players tell you that it's almost too far away, and you said that in the game that you made up that you played at the MCG. So why is it different there? Because I know calling games from high above the stand where we do, it does feel unique, but why for a player?
Well, they're right on top of you. As soon as you run out, it feels like they're 5 metres away. Everything is just right there. The roar, it echoes in there beautifully. It feels like it's double. Well, I don't even know how many holes, 52,000 or whatever. But it feels like it holds 104 when you're out there, and the way that they're cheering and carrying on, it's amazing. I think last year we were up there and we were sitting up in the stadium, up in the box, and the place was shaking.
Shaking, yeah.
And that, you can actually feel that shake when you're out in the field. So it's the best feeling in the world. The boys are going to love it. I'm so envious of them. I wish I was running out there on Wednesday night. They've got a really good opportunity to do something pretty special this year. And fingers crossed they get it done, and it just sort of stops all the talk about New South Wales. We can bring that trophy home.
In the old version of Lang Park, the historic version of Lang Park, the broadcast boxes were on the eastern side of the field and they were kind of lowered down from the roof. They weren't part of the grandstand as such. And when the stand shook, the box really shook. And you're worried that you're just going to tumble down. Yes, it was quite. That was even more unique, I think, than the current version.
But I was going to say, even the boxes now that we're in, it feels like it's a bit of an afterthought.
No, it's not feels like. It was an afterthought.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense.
It was officially an afterthought. Now, before Origin 1, you were, and it wasn't just theatre, you were 100% convinced in your mind that New South Wales were going to win this series 3-0.
Yep.
So coming to Game 3 at One All Up in Brisbane, what percentage are you in terms of confidence that New South Wales win?
Confidence-wise, I'm actually pretty low. I'm never not confident in the Blues jersey. But just the way that we've played this year, I haven't got the confidence. They haven't showed me anything this year. And, you know, that jersey, you know, when they put it on, I don't feel like we had the pride that, you know, we used to have when I was a kid watching it. Fingers crossed they prove me wrong. I hope they do, and I get mud on my face on Thursday. But
so it sounds like a low percentage.
Yeah, very low. Like, I'm... worried about the way that I thought Queensland played amazing for 57 minutes in game one. I thought they were brilliant, and I didn't think they could play any better. In game two, they played better. Mm. Their defence, their line speed, their attention to detail, attack, everything was just perfect. They were patient. They had things go against them. They're happy just to keep defending their line, keep turning New South Wales away, and then when they got their opportunity, they put points on the board. They're going up in front of their home crowd. Packed 52,000 Queenslanders sitting there playing some outstanding football, and they've got tackle over the park. I love the way Harry Grant's playing. Sam Walker's playing outstanding.
You're convincing me the Queensland win.
Well, I'm trying to sort of look at like their downfalls. I do believe they need to be off 10%, and we need to play our best possible game this Wednesday night. So I am a little bit nervous, but I do believe I look at our side 1-19, or as you say 1-17, but 1-19. If every one of those players on that list play their best football, we don't lose. But my biggest fear is I haven't seen that, or I haven't even seen it in glimpses. I think I've probably seen 20 minutes out of two games, which is the scary part. When you look at Queensland, they've pretty much played almost two perfect games of footy, and I think they can get better.
All right, I've got more questions about Origin for you when we get to buying and selling in the next little bit. Text coming through, 0467 920 222. I really enjoyed the banter between Billy and Louie. He got Louie on a TKO, but how good has Luke just described the atmosphere? The best of the best, you have to challenge yourself against the best. Go New South Wales. I think there's a few typos there. I think it meant it's to be the best, you have to challenge yourself against the best. Go New South Wales. Lads, any news on Sunday's Bunnies Knights game, re-crowd size, etc.? I'm catching train down from Newcastle from Crawls at Lake Macquarie. No, we had Blake Solly, the South Sydney CEO, in the box on Friday night in the pre-game show, and this is for the world's biggest birthday party. It's all part of Jai July to raise money for Jai Arrow and his family after Jai was diagnosed with motor neurone disease. And he said 30 to 40,000. I'd like to think 40 is almost a minimum.
I think it'll be more.
Yeah, I do too.
I know there's heaps of people that are coming down from Central Coast, up from Berry. They haven't even been to a game this year just to go and support, Jai. So
and families can go at basically half price. So two adults can take two kids. The kids are free.
Yeah.
So
I'd love to see it packed.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? Like, everyone has been so incredible in getting behind this cause, as, you know, Australians are with the Mark Hughes Foundation or the Glenn McGrath Foundation, any of these things, it's amazing. So it wouldn't surprise me either if 40,000 is a minimum.
And they can have people, the kids can go on the field after the game too, isn't it? Is that right? Blake Solly said something like that the other night, I think.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. So, no, it'll be an amazing atmosphere. I'm glad we'll be there.
It'll be awesome. And I've got a biggest cake. I hope we get some.
Do you reckon we will?
No.
If it's the world's biggest cake, we're entitled to a slither.
We should have asked Blake the other night.
Can you imagine Gibbsy eating the world's biggest cake?
Yes, that'd be awesome.
Any chance you get any in his north and south. Dear, oh dear. But on the weekend, or in fact, it all starts on Wednesday night, Luke Lewis, Matthew Elliott, John Gibbs will join me at Lang Park in Brisbane for The Decider, on air from 7 o'clock, kickoff just after 8. Then on Thursday night, round 2 of the NRLW season kicks off, coverage from 7. That's on the ABC Listen app. It's Cronulla Sutherland against Brisbane, with the Broncos coming off a 50-point win on the weekend. Brett Sprigg calling with Dean Halitau and Bridget Murphy. Through until 10 o'clock, Louie and I get a beauty sleep. Round 19 of the NRL season gets underway at Seatown, Campbelltown Stadium, on air from 7 on Friday night for an 8 o'clock kickoff between the West Tigers and Warriors, who are sitting nicely in second position. Then on Saturday, Louie and Michael Carianis. Jamis, I nearly said. Carianis joined me from 2 o'clock at Stadium Australia for the pre-game show. At 3 o'clock, we head to Dolphin Oval. The Finns will be looking to get straight back on the winners list, playing Cronulla Sutherland. That's a big one. Quentin Hull calling that with Billy Moore and Brad Tallon. We'll call the 5:30 game between Canterbury, Bankstown and Canberra. And that's interesting, Louie, because the Bulldogs, they've won a few in a row. They're kind of back in the reckoning, but they have to keep winning.
Yeah, do have to keep winning. They're slowly starting to find some nice football, but the key for them is Crichton. Crichton 5-8 was brilliant.
Yeah,
and
he back up?
Yeah, I reckon he can back up. I reckon he will back up, and I think he knows how important he is to the side. And they also know how important getting those Ws are now towards the back end of the year. So I think he's going to be so instrumental for the Bulldogs. If he can continue to play the way he played last weekend in that 5-8 position, I think they've got some real class about him.
Because there's two of the more disappointing teams this year.
Yeah, correct. I sit there and think they had no attack. They didn't have much to offer.
Yeah.
But when Stephen Crichton went in, his direction around the middle of the field wasn't just his passing. It was just a totally different team. And everyone was doing the right job and hitting the right person, getting to the right holes, and the passing that he was showing and he had on display that night was brilliant. So, yeah, I think he's a massive key for the Bulldogs' success this year.
Also, Saturday night, 7:30, the Sydney Roosters face plucky Parramatta at the Sydney Football Stadium. Glenn Lauder back on deck calling with Dean Hallettow and Matthew Elliott. And then finally to Sunday with a massive day at Stadium Australia. We're just talking about a Jai Arrow's birthday, the world's biggest birthday party. They're calling it Kids In For Free with Paying Adults, and the expectation for at least 40,000 inside the ground to celebrate Jai Arrow and to raise money for him and his family as he faces this fight against motor neurone disease. A huge claim at 2 o'clock then with South Sydney taking on Newcastle. That's with me, Louie and Gibbsy. The 4 o'clock game is at Brookvale Oval, Manly Warringah against North Queensland. A very important game that too. Brett Sprigg, Dean Hallettow and Michael Carianis working that one. And to finish the round at 6:15 Sunday, Melbourne Storm is at home to the Gold Coast Titans. Ned Hall commentating with our man Ryan Hoffman and Ian Cohen. And the rest of NRLW Round 2, Saturday 12:45, North Queensland against Wests at Townsville Stadium. 3:15 it's Canterbury Bankstown playing Gold Coast at Stadium Australia. And at 5:15, first up winners, the Sydney Roosters and Newcastle meet at the SFS. Two games on Sunday, midday at Canberra Stadium, the Raiders host the Warriors. And from 1:45, St George Illawarra plays Parramatta at Wollongong Stadium. And that's what we have to look forward to between now and next week's NRL Monday. And speaking of NRLW, how good was Jada Taylor working with us on Saturday?
She was phenomenal. I got to hear a little bit. Obviously, I went away.
Oh, that's right. You went for your big fat steak.
But she's, phenomenal. A lot of people obviously giving her raps, which is awesome. But you could tell she is a natural. And
she is a natural.
She's a very good speaker. She doesn't leave many G's off the words. And she leaves no notes for me to read off.
So. No, but I like that you left your program, which was covered in very colourful doodles. And she just, every now and then I just see Jada look down and just shake her head and get back on with the job. So she won me over completely.
No, she was awesome. Well done to Jada too.
Also on the text line, 0467 920 222. It was wonderful to be on the hill at Cogra on Saturday evening. The fans were in good spirits throughout, considering the awful run we've had. The Tigers fans were fun too. Now we need to run down the Titans, says Ed. I mentioned in the first half of the show, to me the biggest surprise this year, Louie, is Newcastle being in the top four this deep into the season. Really pleasant surprise, and I can't rap Justin Holbrook enough. The way that team has changed, particularly in attack, although the last couple of wins they've had at home have been more based on defence, a 12-6 win over the Tigers and 13-12 last night over the Dolphins. But they've stunned me. Is there a bigger surprise in the comp for you, good or bad?
Maybe Dolphins, because I had this feeling about the Dolphins. I thought they could do a really good job, but I do like what Newcastle are doing. I love Justin Holbrook and his philosophy on, you know, the way that he coaches and the way that he wants his team to play. And I feel like he's got the best out of players in that squad that we always were sitting there question mark and how can you get the best out of them? Like Brabham Best, for example, you know, Callum Ponga. You got Fletcher Sharp, I think, is playing outstanding. Even Phoenix Crossland's playing really good football up through the middle. Yeah. But then all the other boys are just sort of following. So I feel like their leadership is really good. Their attack is flowing nicely. They're bought into the defence. They look super fit. But my biggest thing is they're smiling. So yeah, they're having fun.
It's totally different.
Totally different outfit. They look amazing. So, yeah, I'm hoping they have a good year. I'd love to see them run deep into the final. It'd be great for the game.
Hi, Maury. Can you please advise the 3-2-1 in the Knights Dolphins game from John in Brisbane? I can tell you that Dylan Lucas got 3 points in the ABC Player of the Year from Dean Hallettow. 2 to the other Dylan Brown, and 1 to Dolphins second rower Kulakefu Finafuiaki. So I hope that helps you out, John. Evening, Maury and Louie. Love the show. I'm a regular listener. It was a great being at Cogra on Saturday night for the Dragons win over the Tigers. Val Holmes, his best game. Loco Pacifica Tonga. Couchman Twins, awesome. Best performance of the year. Has Dean Young got the job in your eyes now? Asked Park Dragon at Albion Park. He's got to be the front runner, doesn't he? Just because he's the incumbent.
Well, he's already there. He's passionate about the club. And you know what? He's pretty patient. And he's good mates with Benny Hornby, who's going up against. We spoke to him on the weekend. He said they talk every weekend on the phone when they're driving home or whatever. But Yeah, look, I think he'll still be there no matter what. If he's coaching or if he's jumping in the assistant role, I still think he'll stay there. He is getting the team a lot better. But I do believe, too, Valentine Holmes is best positions on the wing. He adds so much value to that side. He ran over 200-and-something plus metres, scored a couple of tries, and was a great finisher. He's just... I feel like if they could find a good centre and have Val outside him, they could have a red hot run.
Tiger Turley says, Andrew, when does a club decide if the old saying the chicken or the egg comes into play in regards to performance? The Tigers have been very ordinary the last few weeks. At what stage does a coach make mass changes? I guess you've got to have the depth to make mass changes.
The Tigers?
Yeah.
The problem is they don't have the depth there. Their biggest problem this year is that they've had injuries in key parts. Like, you know, Dewey was leading the Dally M's and gets an injury. Buller had to get some injury. Now you've got Apika Royce out with another injury.
Now for 4 weeks.
You've got Jerome Luai again out. So their spine has been changing all the time. So I'm going to give them a little bit of leeway. I think they've been playing some good football. They're on the upward trajectory, but the injuries have killed them.
Ed says, Louis, I agree, Queensland does old boys better. Can someone please explain to Tamika Upton when she's firing an arrow, she's supposed to release the string, not the bow. Maybe everyone needs archery training from little brother Tucker. Well, I didn't see Tamika Upton's effort, but it was great to see so many players, both in the NRL and NRLW, doing that on the week.
You know, the other thing I liked on the weekend, there was a lot of videos getting around of kids playing on the weekend.
Doing the same thing.
They're all jumping up and doing the arrow. There was some girls doing it, young kids in the under-9s and under-8s. It was brilliant.
Paul at Marrickville, am I wrong thinking that the State of Origin has possibly passed its peak? Yes, you are, Paul. The ratings figures have never, ever been as strong as they are now.
And you know what? It's never going to get past it. I think it's the one thing we all look forward to, and it's one thing that brings out the biggest debate every year. It doesn't matter if you're playing well or you're not playing well. It's always everyone's opinions are crazy during Origin period.
Crichton was a revelation. 5'8". He has the heart that makes a difference. Inspirational leader. Andrew, I thought Jada did really well with her second debut yesterday. Did Louis explain to her about the 35-metre line? It sounded like he had already stitched her up with a sheet of notes, later revealed as merely colouring in and sketches. ABC Sport, Sydney, that's what it says in the text. But otherwise, she did very, very well from Milo. I did try to discourage you from giving it. There are a few off-air tips that
to be fair, you actually did say to me, you got any tips for Jada?
I did, and then I regretted it instantly because you started saying things that you shouldn't have
said. I'm glad she didn't listen.
Are you ready for buy, swap, sell?
Yep, let's do it.
It's buying and selling. Let's do that now.
Are you buying or selling?
I can't remember on previous trips you've had in here, Louis, whether you've been spending more money than you've been...
I've bought a lot.
You have, haven't you?
Yes.
Do you know what? If I can find this sheet, you're in trouble.
What did you say?
I've got it now, the sheet.
Oh.
Are you buying or selling, Luke Lewis? You didn't get me. Are you buying or selling? Jai Gray scored the best try that never was.
I'm buying that. That was one of the best tries I've seen. Live, 40 metres out, kicks the ball along the field 5 times and then has the patience to wait for the ball to come over the line and puts it down. So, I'm buying it.
That was one of the most disappointing no tries of all time, wasn't it?
I couldn't believe how many times he kicked it and got it down. And then all the Penrith players falling over.
Especially considering what's happening at the moment.
World Cup.
Cameron Murray has to start for New South Wales to have any chance of beating Queensland. Are you buying or selling that?
No, I'm not buying it. I'm selling it. But Cam Murray has to play a big role in Wednesday night's game for us to get the win. He's a great player, has a lot of value. I just need to see him play his best football. It doesn't matter if he's starting or if he comes off the bench.
Newcastle, Luke Lewis, is in the top four to stay. Buying or selling?
I'm going to say sell.
Ooh.
Only because I've been buying a lot. But I'm going to say sell. They'll stay in the top eight, definitely. And
you're
I reckon
taking the Dolphins back in.
Yeah, because I tipped the Dolphins at the start of the year, be my smoky top four.
Okay. West Tigers are booking their end-of-season trip now, and it's in September. Are you buying or selling that?
Yeah, I'm buying that, definitely. I think they're done and dusted now. Too many injuries, too many key positions, so I just can't see them coming back from it.
All right. And finally, Michael Maguire will be coaching New South Wales again next year. Are you buying or selling?
I'm going to say sell for now.
There's a hidden meaning there, obviously.
Yeah, I'm going to say sell for now, and the reason I'm doing that is because I just can't get my head around or wrap my head around how he can't be at Brisbane next year. He still won him a grand final. I still think he can get him off the bottom of the table, and I still think he can push him up there. It's just one of those years that just hasn't worked out.
I agree with you wholeheartedly that he shouldn't go from Brisbane, but the... Yeah, it isn't.
The talk is not good.
Talk is not good. All right, well done, Luke Lewis. Buying or selling, 0467 920 222. Boy, we've got a lot of text messages coming through. Love the show, boys. Feel the Roosters are flying under the radar. Would love your thoughts. They lost against the Dolphins, but did have three debutants that night and seven out from Rooster Scotty at Palm Cove. Concur. Well, they're not flying under the radar for you, Louis, are you? You thought they'd be grand finalists going into
the year. I picked
them
for Penrith Roosters grand final, but they are flying under the radar. Don't feel like we talk about them much. I think they've got a great side. And the other thing that they've got coming out of it that we're not realising is Sam Walker's experience in State of Origin, the way that he's playing, what he's going to add to that side at the back end of this year is going to be phenomenal. So, yeah, they are flying under the radar. I reckon they're going to be a tough team to beat.
I see them fourth. I've got Penrith, Warriors/Dolphins, then Roosters.
Yeah,
only because I think Penrith aren't concerned by the Roosters at all.
Yeah, I don't think Penrith are concerned about anyone except for themselves.
0467 920 222. Jada Taylor was an excellent addition into the best team in the business. Michael was quiet after her roast, just gold. Yeah, there was a point where Michael did a bit of, you know, grade two carry on. And I said to Jada, see what I've got to put up with? And she said, yeah, that's really poor from downstairs. You go, girl. 26 and a half past seven. Every week on the show, we feature the director's cut, and that is where our producer, Ralph Tucker, picks his highlight from our weekend's coverage. And I don't know what it is. Do you have any predictions?
No, but Michael Carriana said something that might have happened on the weekend, so I'm assuming maybe something like that. Can't remember exactly what it was.
Well, I've no idea what you're even talking about. So let's find out together.
The director's cut.
Yeah, I'd challenge it too. So I think it come off a Penrith player when they were trying to pass it there, South Sydney, to find his winger. So I think what they're trying to say is that it come off Penrith and went forward. That's the challenge from South Sydney.
Just looking at the thumb here, Brian Toto. See, I have to Jai Gray passes the ball. The ball deflects forward off the thumb of Brian Toto, which is the first knock on.
Louis, I've got to ask you a question.
Ball's then knocked on by South. The captain's challenge is successful.
I love you like family. You're one of the great players for Penrith, Cronulla, New South Wales, Australia. You're one of the great pests in the history of the universe. We've worked together since 2019. That pass was conservatively 180 metres from where we sit. And you saw it touch the tip of Brian Toto's thumb. How? You can't remember whether you played at the MCG or a back park at Kellyville, but you saw that. How?
I can see the little details, Andrew.
You are a freak. And I meant that with love in my heart, but I don't resolve from it. You are a freak. This was so far away from where we were, and it dead set came off the very end of Brian Tottle's finger, and you straight away, and they try, gave off his knock on. How?
Well, I look at all the small details around what happened. So the person who passed the ball, then I look at Brian Tottle's face, and it sort of paints a picture. So I'm assuming it come off his tip. So I just make an educated guess, which is sort of 99.9% chance I'm going to get it right.
It's crazy. It was always blowing me away with you, Louis, since we started doing this together in 2019. That your eagle eye for things that happen on the field live and predicting what's going to happen with the bunker and all this, I've never known anyone like it, and I'm sincere about that. And this is for someone who, you know, can barely remember his keys in the morning.
I appreciate it, mate. Thanks for the wrap. But you know what? It is funny because my missus always says the same thing. She goes, how do you not remember these things? But then something will pop up and you can remember that. And it was like 25 years ago. Yeah. I don't understand why. How
did you ever score a try in Coffs Harbour?
I thought I did. But
did you ever play at the MCG?
Apparently not.
Oh, dear. All right. We're about done, Louis. So we're on here 7 o'clock Wednesday night. I'll see you in Brizzy. What's going to be the final result and margin?
Yeah, well, New South Wales win. Obviously, we'll win by two, and I reckon we'll play our best football that we've played since in this whole Origin series. So New South Wales win the Shield. And
you don't have
New
the same
Wales.
Vim and vigour as you did before
we'll
Origin 1.
I'm a little bit nervous, but we'll win.
You are. Thanks, mate. Appreciate you coming in. Luke Lewis, thank you to our team here, our producer Ralph Tucker, to Tommy at the panel, to Jared, our social media dude. Thank you, Jared. Not a weekend. Thank you to Patrick Kelly as well, providing many questions for us, and Damien Kelly. I'm Andrew Moore. Thank you so much for listening. The evening's programs are next right here on ABC.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.